The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 2 a.m. September 20th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Keep your rosaries off our ovaries. Keep your rosaries off our ovaries.
Resist!
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to K Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly. I'm back from Vietnam. It feels like I've been gone for months. And well, I had some access to Wi-Fi on my phone. I got very little news while I was there. It took me 3 days just to stop feeling like something was wrong or missing from my life because I didn't have this constant stream of news downloading into my brain 16 hours a day. I kind of felt like a normal person for a few weeks. I actually looked up and there's like a whole world out there. People do things and talk to each other. It's crazy. You should try it sometime. I had conversations about things other than politics, and I'm pretty sure my shoulders actually relaxed, all of which told me that I might need some more balance in my life. I'll talk more about Vietnam next show. This show is about catch-up. Back at the airport on the way home, I began soaking in some of the news that I missed, and man, this country has been busy. The Equifax breach and the onslaught of hurricanes are big deals, and they're not even part of politics. The Russia investigation marches on, Donald is still an embarrassing idiot, and there's a Stop Betsy hashtag, Russia and Facebook were up to shenanigans, and so much more. How's everyone feeling? Overworked? Overwhelmed? I get it. I recommend a vacation. This show is a day late because the jet lag wore me out. It would have been an interesting, if unproductive, show had I put one up in time. So let's start with this week, and then I'll run through the highlights of what happened while I was gone. Noel Francisco was named the Trump administration's Solicitor General in a 50-47 vote. The position is key, especially with legal challenges and controversial measures advanced by the president. You know, things like the travel ban. The Solicitor General brings forth the administration's arguments before the Supreme Court. So who is this charmer? Perfect is what he is. Perfect for Donald's administration, that is. Francisco has served as principal deputy Solicitor General for the United States since January. But before that, he was a former partner at Jones Day, a top law firm, where he represented such likable characters as R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, and went up in front of the Supreme Court in Zubrick v. Burwell, which involved an application of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to regulations related to insurance coverage for contraception. He is a member of the notorious Federalist Society, as they are, if they're conservative, it seems these days, and he served under George W. Bush. He also served as a law clerk for Antonin Scalia. So there you go. A no-good guy confirmed to a no-good job to do no-good things under a no-good president. It's back. It's back. You're going to need your death certificate. It's back. The goddamn Republican healthcare bill is back! Or a version of it. Have you ever heard of a water bear? Tardigrades, often called water bears, or my favorite, moss piglets, are near microscopic animals with long, plump bodies and scrunched up heads. They have 8 legs and 8 hands with 4 to 8 claws on each. They are strangely cute. These tiny animals are almost indestructible and can even survive outer space. They kind of look like the hookah-smoking caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland. They are no more than 1 millimeter long. Moss piglets will survive long after humanity is gone. Scientists from Harvard and Oxford universities looked at the probabilities of the Earth pummeling into asteroids, nearby supernova blast, and gamma ray burst, just to name a few, and it survives them all. Well, the Republican quote-unquote healthcare bill is kinda like a moss piglet. It will not die. That is why I'm calling it the Graham Cassidy Piglet Bill, because it will not die, and the coverage is so small, it will only cover care for a moss piglet. In the Graham Cassidy Piglet Bill, Senate Republicans has resurrected their attempts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. This is getting old, guys. Only 12% of people supported the last bill, and this one is reportedly worse. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana argue that their bill is different from its predecessors, though critics have argued that it's different because it's worse, especially for women. Here are some of the ways the bill impacts women's health. Like the previous skinny repeal, this bill strips Planned Parenthood of federal funding for 1 year. The bill also includes a provision that essentially bans the use of federal Medicaid funds to pay for care at Planned Parenthood clinics. States could change what qualifies in the essential health benefit, allowing insurers to stop covering maternity care. And you know there's states that will do this. Patients who receive a tax credit to buy insurance on the individual market won't be able to use the credit to purchase insurance that includes abortion coverage. Similarly, small businesses that receive tax credits for providing their employees with health insurance would be banned from offering plans that cover abortion. And 1 in 5 adult women get their health insurance through Medicaid. The Graham Cassidy bill ends the Medicaid expansion. So now what do we do? First and foremost, there is something you can do regardless of how busy you are, and that is call your senator. Tell them to vote no on the bill. And should you have a Democratic senator who is likely to vote no regardless, call them to thank them for their upcoming vote. It is important that they can log the numbers of the calls that they've gotten on the healthcare issue so that they can use it in their arguments. Call the switchboard at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Second is show up. Graham Cassidy is a major threat. We must put a lot of pressure on our senators and our representatives immediately. Big pressure, loud pressure. And that means showing up. Schedule an in-district office event now. You can go to TrumpCare10.org for a guide to all of this. It is a guide put out by Indivisible. Also on the site, you can find if there are any events set up near you, or if you are planning one, you can register yours so that people can find it.
Resist!
Again, that is TrumpCare10.org. That's TrumpCareTen.org. In other news, after Mexico faced yet another tragic earthquake on Tuesday, we have to face the facts that with climate change, we will continue to see such devastating earthquakes more and more. According to a group of eminent geologists and geophysicists, including University College London's Bill McGuire, Professor Emeritus of Geophysical and Climate Hazards, evidence from the end of the last ice age has already shown that the planet's uneasy web of seismic faults, cracks in the crust, like the one that runs along the Himalayas or the San Andreas in California, are very sensitive to the small pressure changes brought by climate change and climate. The disappearing ice, sea level rise, and floods already forecast for the 21st century are inevitable as the Earth warms and weather patterns change, and they will shift the weight of the planet. Professor McGuire calls this process, quote, waking the giant. Unquote. Something that can be done with just a few gigatons of water in the right or the wrong place. He said, quote, these stress or strain variations, just the pressure of a handshake in geological terms, are perfectly capable of triggering a quake if that fault is ready to go. Unquote. School children know the underlying cause of an earthquake is the uneasy grinding of the continent-sized plates that float over the Earth's molten interior. This process that went into overdrive when the ice sheet started withdrawing 20,000 years ago, destabilizing the crust. Can you imagine what's happening now? And then, of course, there's the relentless onslaught of hurricanes in the Atlantic. Mother Nature is pissed, and she is letting us know. Okay, this I have to tell you about. U.S. Representatives Raul Grijalva of Arizona, Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, and Adriano Espaillat of New York were among a small group of demonstrators who sat down in the street in New York's Fifth Avenue on Tuesday and refused to move. The protesters were demanding that Congress pass legislation protecting thousands of young immigrants from deportation. Here is Luis Gutierrez on All In with Chris Hayes.
Why did you get arrested today?
I think it's important that we bring attention and we keep the focus and we tell everybody around the country, mobilize. Look, the strategy is to be in the courts. We're doing that. We have a legislative strategy. But the most important court is the court of public opinion and keeping people. I like to think, as I said this morning, I grew up when it was separate but equal, right? How did I get my rights? Because people said, oh, will you please let Luis vote? Right. No, because people protested and put their freedom on the line so that I can have a voice.
In another news, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has been under FBI surveillance since before the 2016 presidential election. CNN reported that the surveillance, which included wiretapping searches and other types of observation, reportedly began in 2014 when Manafort was the subject of an investigation into work done by a group of Washington consulting firms for the former ruling party of Ukraine. That is, I don't know, somewhat of a bombshell. But there are so many. All right, let's talk about the news that I missed. According to The Hill, Donald visited Hurricane Harvey survivors sheltering in Houston while preparing to serve lunch. He said his hands were too big to fit in the plastic serving gloves. Please. And as he left the shelter, he told survivors, quote, "Have a good time, everybody." CNN reports that the Pentagon, quote, miscalculated the number of troops deployed during Harvey. Command said that 6,300 troops were deployed, but the actual number was 1,638. 4,662 error guys? Really? The AP versus the EPA! AP reported that while many ultra-polluted Superfund sites in Houston were flooded and there was a concern about toxins spreading, the EPA was not at the scene. The EPA responded with a statement on Sunday, maturely, by personally attacking the credibility of the AP reporter. The EPA said that the Superfund sites were inaccessible, but they had used aerial imaging in their assessments. AP countered with its staff had used a boat, vehicles, and gone afoot to reach seven of the sites.
Dominating!
WAPA reported that the EPA has taken the unusual step of putting a Donald political operative, John Conkus, who has little environmental policy experience, in charge of doling out hundreds of millions in EPA grants. The GAO, Government Accountability Office, will investigate hiring practices by the EPA. Agencies are not supposed to hire industry lobbyists for 2 years, but the EPA allegedly skirted those orders by using a provision of the Safe Drinking Water Act. Savvy bastards. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reported that nearly 400 EPA employees left in recent days, leaving the agency with its lowest staffing in almost 30 years. So Donald and Pruitt, you're getting exactly what you want. Congratulations. The Charleston Gazette reported that Donald, in his fashion, nominated David Zatezalo, the former chief executive of Rhino Resources, a company which repeatedly clashed with federal regulators over safety, to run the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Donald also nominated Jim Bernstein, a representative from Oklahoma who has denied climate change and has no science credentials to lead NASA. This is the longest in history that NASA has been without a leader. CNN reported that during his Senate confirmation, parts of Bernstein's online presence were scrubbed, including radio and video interviews and Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube accounts belonging to his campaign. Nothing going on here, guys. Move along. BBC reported that following a nuclear test in Korea, it unleashed a 6.3 magnitude tremor on Saturday. Little fun fact there. And then, reducing our access to our own government even further, the Washington Examiner reported that the Pentagon dramatically scaled back the number of reporters traveling with Mattis overseas to just six. AP, the oldest and largest American wire service, which provides news to thousands of print and broadcast clients, and has traveled with the defense secretary for decades, will not be included in the whole trips. CNN reported, good news! The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals narrowed the scope of Donald's Muslim ban, ruling extended family members are exempt. Yay! NBC reports, very unnerving news. The Trump regime filed papers with the Supreme Court in support of a Christian baker in Colorado who a state court ruled against for refusing to make a wedding cake for a gay couple, further threatening equality and chipping more at the ever-crumbling wall between church and state. Guys, come on! And you know our ultra-conservative, now Neil Gorsuched Supreme Court is going to rule in favor of these bigoted asshats. Whew, sorry. NBC reported that Donald's DHS planned massive nationwide raids to target 8,400 undocumented immigrants described as, quote, the largest operation of its kind in the history of ICE, unquote, for later this month. The plan, however, was canceled September 7th due to Hurricane Irma and damage caused by Hurricane Harvey. So, yay for the hurricanes? Sessions announced non-sanctuary jurisdictions would get priority consideration in a grant program called COPS, C-O-P-S. While Obama had used the program to promote trust between officers and community, like a reasonable person should, Sessions and Donald are using it to crack down on immigrants. Politico reported that Bible-banging DeVos screwed over victims and future victims of sexual assault on campus. She said she'll roll back Obama-era directive on campus, known as Title IX, on campus sexual assault at a speech in Georgetown Mason University, saying she would develop a replacement plan that she said would do a better job of, quote, balancing the rights of victims and the accused, unquote. Men's rights advocates applauded DeVos for listening to their side. This makes me ill. She's disgusting, hopeless, and foul. CBS News reported a spike in international undergraduate and graduate applications at Canadian universities in the wake of Donald. Also in Canada news, as part of NAFTA negotiations, Canada demanded that the U.S. end its right-to-work laws in place in some states. Canadian officials say, rightfully so, that these laws gut unions by starving them of money. Can we agree that Canada is the moral leader of possibly the free world? Rachel Maddow ran a segment on how Trump has given white nationalists like Bannon and the alt-right a path to power. Yay! U.S. Today investigated memberships in Donald's clubs and traced 4,500 members. For the first time in U.S. history, wealthy people have close access to the president as a result of payments that enrich him personally. They found membership includes 50-plus executives whose companies hold federal contracts and 21 lobbyists and trade group officials. Two-thirds played on a Trump golf course, one of 58 days he was there. Anyone going to regulate this? Anyone?
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
The Hill reported that Donald's protectors, Republican leaders, prevented a vote on a bill in which the House would have banned federal spending at Trump businesses. Not only that, Representative Parcell's motion to demand Donald release his tax returns was voted down 21-14 in the House Ways and Means Committee, helping Republicans avoid a more public vote in the full House. Talking Points memo reports that a lawsuit filed against Donald's Election Integrity Commission, Donald's Voter Suppression Commission, alleges that at least two members are using personal emails for official business. But her emails! Vox noted that despite Donald's tweet, the government is already winding down DACA. And Donald's regime is no longer accepting new applications from young immigrants. 983 undocumented people per day will lose protection they previously had under DACA as the two-year tenure of their statute expires. Donald at an Oval Office meeting after Republican leaders and Mnuchin advocated for an 18-month hike of the debt ceiling out of nowhere. Like a bumbling moron, he sided with Chuck and Nancy for a 3-month hike. Even this one got through to me. Later at a rally in North Dakota, Donald called Democratic Senator Heitkamp, who's running for re-election, a good woman and said, these are great people. They work hard. They are for you 100%. WTF is going on. Facebook told congressional investigators Wednesday that the company sold $100,000 of advertising to an internet research agency, a Troll Farm in St. Petersburg, who has a history of pushing pro-Kremlin propaganda. Facebook reported that roughly a quarter of the ads were geographically targeted, and the ads' focus was to amplify divisive issues like LGBT issues, race matters, immigration, and gun rights. Daily Beast calculated that $100,000 in Facebook ads could have reached as many as 70,000 users if amplified in a sophisticated manner. New York Times reported on the sophisticated ways which troll farms manipulated and disseminated news on Facebook and Twitter during the 2016 election. Former FBI agent Clint Watts called it a bot cancer eroding trust. McClatchy reported Facebook, Twitter, and other social media companies may be subpoenaed. A former prosecutor said Facebook ad buys suggest numerous crimes, including conspiracy to defraud the U.S. USA Today reported that Russia has interfered in at least 27 European and North American countries' elections since 2004. CNN reports that Nunes, Donald's greatest ally in the White House, who had recused himself as House Chair, lashed out at Sessions in a letter for not sharing FBI and DOJ documents related to the Steele dossier. Nunes also threatened Sessions and Ray with a public hearing. Vanity Fair reported that Gowdy, member of House Slytherin with a bad haircut, is also waging a war to discredit the Steele dossier. Gowdy claims subpoenas are necessary because the FBI and the DOJ haven't supplied the documents underlining the dossier. More in cover-up news. Politico reports that Donald's attorney, Michael Carvin, filed a brief asking federal judge to toss out a lawsuit that accuses Donald's campaign of conspiring with Russian operatives to publish stolen DNC information on WikiLeaks months ago. And the DOJ said it was preparing charges against Assange, with Sessions saying that Assange's arrest is a priority. Strangely, this never happened. And now Donald's regime is defending WikiLeaks. Of course they are. The New York Times reported that Donald Jr. met with the Senate Judiciary Committee behind closed doors. Only one Senate Republican attended the hearing and stayed for about 5 minutes. Feinstein, the ranking Democrat, said Donald Jr. has agreed to a public testimony, and if he doesn't follow through, he will be subpoenaed. Grassley, who Donald bribed with federal support for the ethanol industry, said no final decision has been made. Donald Jr. claimed he took a meeting with Veselnitskaya and others because she might have damaging information concerning the fitness, character, and qualifications of Hillary. Newsweek compiled a list of Donald Jr.'s rationales for taking the meeting. Thursday's testimony was his fifth version so far. At this point, it's so obvious, it's insulting. CNN obtained the 17-page Trump Tower Moscow letter of intent, signed by Donald in October 2015, the day of the Republican primary debate. The property would be named Trump World Tower Moscow. The deal would have given our president perks, including $4 million upfront fee, no upfront cost, and a percentage of the sales, and the opportunity to name his hotel spa after his darling daughter, Ivanka. On the 16th, Donald hosted Russia's new U.S. ambassador, Antonin Antonov, in D.C. Russia media reported that Antonov described the meeting as warm. U.S. media was not informed of the meeting, of course. Previously, the EU put Antonov on a list of officials subject to sanctions, citing his involvement in supporting the deployment of Russian troops to Ukraine. The Senate is the adults in our government.
Which is a scary notion in and of itself.
But Reuters reported by a 3-0 vote that the Senate Appropriations Committee allocated $51 billion for the State Department and Foreign Operations, nearly $11 billion more than requested by Donald's regime. The committee blasted the Trump regime in its report, saying its approach to foreign policy weakens U.S. standing in the world. The State Department was also criticized for its response to Hurricane Irma, which had already affected thousands of Americans in the Caribbean islands. A task force wasn't set up till Friday after the storm hit. State Department employees, however, pointed out that there is no Undersecretary of State for Management, who would typically be in charge of the State Department's response to a storm of Irma's magnitude. And now, Maria is moving in to devastate Puerto Rico and who knows what else.
Doing good, guys.
Bloomberg reported that Donald's aides said that Donald is rattled by the departure of longtime bodyguard Schiller. Aides described Schiller as the, quote, emotional anchor for Donald in White House turmoil. What? Donald has been anchored emotionally? Holy crap. What are we in for? And then, get this. Okay, so Axios reported that according to an advisor, Donald finally realized that, quote, people really fucking hate me, unquote. The advisor noted that Trump's need for affirmation may have led to his sudden embrace of Schumer and Pelosi. Oh, I wish I was there when he made that revelation. And by the way, what a slow learner. Morton Policy reported on growing concerns within the CIA that, this story. Okay. So Foreign Policy reported on growing concerns within the CIA that due to his personal beliefs, Donald's ally, Pompeo, is rolling back the agency's diversity mandate. It is becoming a white male paradise and a Christian agency. And then, in June, senior CIA management abruptly canceled an event with the Matthew Shepard Foundation in honor of their late gay son. Shepard's death led to some of the country's first federal hate crime laws. And since we're talking about, you know, the white maleification of America, on the 10th, yes, the 10th, yes, I'm only on the 10th, Donald announced his sixth wave of U.S. attorney nominations. 31 of them, of the 42, were men. Donald nominated six to become U.S. attorneys. All six were white men. Doing good, bro. Doing real good. Trump's NASA nominee, Bernstein, we already talked about him, was quoted as saying that the agency should be reorganized and that the expansion of human knowledge about space and Earth should be removed from NASA's objectives.
What is going on?
ICE arrested a 34-year-old father in Santa Fe using his younger brother, who was in HHS custody, as bait. And then there is the Motel 6 stuff. Phoenix News Times reviewed ICE arrest records and found that employees of at least six locations in predominantly Latino neighborhoods were alerting ICE an undocumented guest. It wasn't until after an outcry on social media that Motel 6 said that it would stop sharing guest lists. But it has yet to acknowledge if this was only done at a local level and to explain why employees were collaborating with ICE. New York Times reported that the Trump regime is considering lowering the refugee quota to below 50,000, the lowest level since 1980, and less than half of the 110,000 admitted by Obama in 2016. And then, ABC News affiliate reported that DACA recipients are being detained for hours at the Texas border checkpoints with no explanation as to why. Border Patrol claims that it's new protocol. A federal judge in Chicago blocked the DOJ's rules under Sessions, which required sanctuary cities to cooperate with immigration agents in order to get public safety grants, like the CUPS program. WAPO reported that Politico's editors warned staff off topics like the physical attacks on journalists and white supremacy. Quote, try to stay away from those things because some of them are partisan. Unquote. Too partisan? When did calling out white supremacy or talking about violence against reporters become a partisan issue? This is outrageous. And you know what? I am out of time. And I'm only on the 13th. Damn it. I haven't even got to Donald's short-lived pivot, which ended abruptly late in the week when he again evoked both sides on Charlottesville and then started an embarrassing tweet storm about the tragic bombing in London. Well, at least I cannot fault our country for providing lack of content. Thank you for listening to my show. You can find my show on crabdiving.com. That's crabdiving.com. That's one word. Under the K-Voice tab. Or download my show as a podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. You can also find my show on Citizen Truth. That's citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice and on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. Okay, take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.
Repeal and replace, and I'll be waiting, and eventually we're going to get something done, and it's going to be very good.
Resist!